All right, let's open to Colossians chapter 3. Book of Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 15 through 17 this evening. I've been working on this a good bit. I worked on it, and then I didn't like it, and then I worked on it a little bit more, then a little bit more, and kind of shaved it down and to where I think that we can present it in a little bit more easier fashion for you. Let's go ahead and read Colossians 3, and we're going to look at verses 15 through 17 tonight. It says, "And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you are called into one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for these folks, Lord, that chose to come out tonight to our meetings, and thankful for the Lord's Supper. Master, we have the privilege of taking that, and look forward one day of taking that together with you in glory. And Lord, we pray tonight as we get into this message in Colossians that you'd use it in a mighty way. We pray a blessing on everyone that's here. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. All right, we're going to title this section, verses 15 through 17, Six Ways to a Full Joy. Six ways to a full joy in these three verses. Now, the book of Colossians is an excellent book. And I think we'll grow as we go through it. One of the key words, if you'll remember, one of the key words to the book of Colossians, you remember what it is? Thanksgiving. Every chapter mentions thanksgiving in some way. Here in our text in verse 15, notice what it says. "And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye what? Thankful." You see thankful in verse 15. Look again at verse 16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." Verse 17, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks." So twice it mentions that in this text. Thanksgiving is a very important with regard to your joy. It's something we need to choose to do every day of our life. So the message title again is what? Six Ways to a Full Joy. And let's go ahead and begin by looking at the first way. The first way to a full joy is mentioned in verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your what? In your heart. Now, oftentimes when we're talking about our heart, we'll hit our heart right here. But the idea of heart is your mind. The scripture says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." See what I'm saying? So, he says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Now, how that began in you was the day that you was born again. I now have, and if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you now have peace with God. And it's mentioned in several places in the Bible. The most important thing in the world is to have peace with God and be reconciled to Him, to be brought into a position of peace with Him. Get this out of Colossians because I gave it to you earlier. Look at Colossians chapter 1, and I want you to look at verses 21 and verse 22. It describes what we were, and then it shows you what God did. I love text that does that. It says in verse 21, "You were sometimes alienated and enemies." Now that's what we were. We was estranged from God. And we were what? Enemies. That's how we were at one time. Before we were born again, before we were brought to a saving knowledge of Jesus, that's where we were at. You were sometime alienated and enemies. I mean, that don't even sound good. To be the enemy of God is about the worst thing you could possibly be, isn't it? But that's where the lost stand. That's where they're at, even all the way down to the day. If someone's never trusted Jesus, here's how they're described. They're alienated and they are enemies. And what they need more than anything else is they need to be brought into a position of reconciliation with God. In other words, what it means, they need to go from being an enemy to go and to be in reconciliation with Him and having peace with God. That's what they need. Notice what it says here again in our text. You who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He done what? Reconciled. He brought us into a position of peace with God. I was alienated and an enemy. Now am I what again? I've been reconciled to Him. Now look at verse 22. I can't go by without reading this to you too. Look how we're going to be presented one day. Notice what it says in verse 22. He's going to present you how? There's going to be a presentation one day. He's going to present you to the Father one day. And here's how you're going to be presented. Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. All God's people say it. That's a glorious standing that we have in Christ. So one of these days, we who are alienated and enemies, because of His reconciliation, one day we're going to be presented to Him holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. And that's a glorious place to be. Let's go back to our text in Colossians 3 and verse 15. So I have peace with God now. I have peace with God. I've been brought into a position of peace. I've been brought into a position of reconciliation. Romans 5:1 says, being justified by faith, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Man's greatest need is to be at peace with God. Sometimes people will be on a deathbed and they need for a preacher or somebody to go in and witness to them. And sometimes people will even say they need to make their peace before they die. Because when you die, the most important thing is whether or not you've been reconciled and have peace with God. So it's very important that you have this peace in your heart and know that you have it. And know that you have it. So, I got peace with God now. I've been reconciled and been brought into this position of peace. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm not going to face condemnation. If I die, I know I'm going to go up. If Jesus comes, I know I'm going to go up. That's peace. That's having peace. A lost man don't have that kind of peace. But only a saved man does, or a saved man or a saved woman. We have peace. And that's the peace of salvation is what I like to call it. Salvation gives you peace of mind and it gives you peace of heart. You know things as well with your soul. And isn't that a comfortable thing? Lay down tonight and you die. You go off to be with Jesus. I have perfect peace. Say, Jeff, are you afraid to die? I don't want to die right now. And I certainly wouldn't want it to hurt. But anyhow, I got peace with God. I know that that's all settled. I know I'm going to go off to be with the Lord. And I have peace of heart. I know things are as well with my soul. So we need to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. We need to know that we're saved and put all of our confidence in the Lord and know that that's forever settled as far as our salvation is concerned. We can have peace of God knowing that it's well with our soul, but you also need to have peace of mind. Y'all agree? There's people that have peace of soul, but don't have peace of mind. And I think the devil's behind a lot of that. I think one of the main places he'll battle against God's people is he goes after your mind. That's where he goes after me more than anything else. Much of the Christian fight is a battle of the mind. And the devil knows exactly where to attack you at, and he'll attack you in your mind. And he'll really afflict your mind. And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Well, we have recourse with, we have peace with God in salvation. That's what we talked about first. But we also have someone we can go to with our cares. It says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, it says we are to cast our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. Every one of us are not shielded from cares. Do you have a care here tonight? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but at one time or the other, we all have some type of cares. We like to call them cares, but they're also worries, ain't they? We don't like to call them worries. We just call them cares. But a care is a worry, and it's a burden that many times that people carry. Well, we have peace with God in salvation, like I said, but we also can have peace with regard to our mind. God can give you peace of mind. In the midst of hardships and trials, God can give you peace of mind. Have you ever done that before? Raise your right hand, let me see. You're in the midst of some horrible trials, but yet at the same time, you went to the Lord with it, and you casted your care on Him, and He sustained you. And He gave you strength, and He gave you the ability to do that. I don't think I could stand it here if it wasn't for the ability to go to the Lord in prayer. I think the cares of life would just completely wear us completely away. What would we do if we couldn't go to the Lord to get strength and cast our cares on Him? You know, He tells us in Hebrews 4 to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain grace to help in time of need. You need grace. You need strength. You go to the throne of grace anytime you want to and get that. And I do. And I do. I don't know. It'd be a pretty rough life if you couldn't go to the Lord. So He gives you salvation, peace in salvation. But now that you're His child, He gives you free access. He gives you free access to His throne. And He will strengthen you. And He'll encourage you. There ain't nobody like the Lord. I don't think, how could you stand this world without being able to take these things to Him? How do you cast your care on the Lord? How do you do it? Well, isn't it by prayer? Isn't that how you cast it? Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burdens on the Lord and He'll sustain you. 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares on Him for He cares for you. Something we need to do. Many times you can talk to someone that's, you know, usually you can tell when somebody's burdened. A lot of times when someone's really burdened with a care, it'll show itself in a person's countenance. And I've even had people that knew me well and that have come and said, is there something? Is there something bothering you? And they can tell by your countenance that something is wrong. Well, we have recourse for those kind of cares. We go to the Lord and we pray, don't we? But if you're not careful, really, when you go to the Lord and pray, what you're doing, really, is just telling Him about it, but you don't leave it there. God's able to do something with your cares. He's able to change things completely around, but you have to cast those on Him. And sometimes what I'll do is I'll cast it on Him. And I know you've done this before, too. You went and prayed. You had burden and had all these different cares. And then you came back from praying and He's just as worried as when you went. Really didn't benefit you a whole lot. Well, then you got to go again. And you got to turn that whole thing, over to the Lord. And I do it. You take it. And I leave it there. I do that little exercise, and that reminds me that there's no use in me worrying about it. Worry don't do any good anyhow, but make you sick. Let the Lord have it. It's amazing what the Lord can do when you lay it on Him. He can do some pretty amazing things. He's a great God. He's a great God. Turn to Isaiah 26. We're going to look at six ways to a full joy. And the first way is, let the peace of God rule in your mind. And the second way is let the cares of life be casted. That's the second way. Isaiah chapter 26. You should have this verse marked in your Bible. How many have Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 marked in your Bible? If you don't have, mark it. Because this is a good one to remember. Watch this now. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Now let's stop here just a minute. Would you like to have perfect peace? Would you like to have perfect peace? Now watch this. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. What's the key to having perfect peace? Whose mind is stayed on thee. because he trusteth in thee. That's the key to having perfect peace, is you got to stay your mind upon the Lord, his strength, his power. You remind yourself of the promises that you have him in. He's with you. He loves you. And it gives you great grace and great strength when you do it. Okay? Thou will keep him in perfect peace, verse 3, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting what? Everlasting strength. He can give you the ability to hold up. He can give you the ability to hold up and to hang in. He can, and he does, and he will. Well, we've noticed two ways to a full joy. The first way is let the peace of God rule in your heart. He began to rule in your heart the day you were saved, right? And then number two, you need to let the cares of life be casted. You need to cast your cares upon the Lord. You can carry them if you want to, but what in the world good does it do? It doesn't change nothing. It just makes you sick. And takes your joy and takes your peace. Write them down. Listen, here's what I do. Write down on a piece of paper everything that you're burdened about. Everything. Write it. Write it. Write it. Okay? And then, I ain't going to throw that away. I'll throw that. And then, you know what you do? And then you take everything you've got on your list. You turn. Here's what you're doing. You're turning your care list into a what? A prayer list. Because you worrying ain't going to change nothing. And then once I tell the Lord about it, here's what I do with it. I roll it up and I throw it away. I hope you catch that. Yeah, I just, there ain't no use to be worrying about it if the Lord's got it. So I that's what I do with it. I wad up the paper that's got the cares on it and just throw it away. You say, does that help you? It sure does. It lets me do something physical. Like I'm throwing them all away at one time. Yeah, that's what you need to do. A lot of times all we do is go tell the Lord about it. And that's all we do. We come back just as worried, just as agitated as when we went. And here we got the benefit that he's given us of casting things on him. All God's people said, you'll never be happy if all you do is carry around cares all the time. It's just not going to happen. You'll be sad all the time. And the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Let the peace of God rule in your heart and your mind. That's number one. Number two, let the cares of life be casted. That's number two. Number three, let's go back to our text now. Go back to it. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. We showed you two types of peace. Peace of salvation. Peace of mind, which also ye are called into one body. Now, the body, in several places in the Scripture, it uses this term body to refer to a church. We call it a church body. A church body. Colossae was a church body. Thessalonians was a church body. Jerusalem, all the different, Philippi, all of these, Ephesus, all these were church bodies. And when someone's born again and someone's saved and trusted Jesus, they need to be part of a church body. Man, it'd be hard. I couldn't imagine living my life here without my church body. What do you mean church body? I'm talking about the body of the church people, the people in your church. I love my church folk. And they'll help you. And they'll help you. Everybody needs to be in a church body because there's joy in one. There's people that will love you in it. There are people that will come to your aid in it. And we all need that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to have to pick up the pace a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26 and 27. Now, the church of Corinth was a local body. It was a church. It was in Greece. Notice what it says. Are you ready? Now, it says in verse 26, whether one member suffer. Watch it now. I want everybody to look at this. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer along with it. Y'all got me there? Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. You need a church body. I love to hear sometimes people will say they've went through a hard time, or maybe they went through a death or went through something. And they'll think, and one of the things people sometimes say, and they say it a lot of times when we have our Thanksgiving service, they say they're thankful for their church body. And they talk about how different times the church body has came together to help them and to encourage them or send them a card or something. There's joy in a church body. And God's people need one. We weren't intended to live in isolation. We were intended to be part of a church body, and there's joy in one. And we watch out for one another. We should, y'all think? We should watch out for one another. One member suffers, all the members suffer with it. One member hurts, all the members hurts with it. And that's what you want. You want a closeness in the congregation. Well, we're talking about six ways to a full joy. The first way is letting the peace of God rule in your heart. That's salvation peace, but it's also casting your cares. And then number three, there's joy in a church body. That every member needs to be part of a body and serve the Lord in it, because there's joy in a church body. Number four, let's go back to our text in Colossians 3. Man, I got the roll, because I want to get this done in one shot. Colossians chapter 3. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. To which you are also called into one body. Now what else does it say in verse 15? Be thankful. Y'all think Thanksgiving is the key to joy? I'm asking. It is a key to joy. You either are thankful or you complain all the time. You ever seen a happy complainer? I've never seen anybody that was a complainer that was happy. But I've seen people that had joy in the Lord, though. And Thanksgiving is a key to that. I'm going to tell you, beloved, Thanksgiving will raise you up if you do it. And it's something you have to practice. I think sometimes you got to take a piece of paper and write down on it the things that you're thankful for. We do this at our Thanksgiving service, except I just tell you to write down one thing. Remember, one of the best services of the year is always the Thanksgiving service. Because people, and when you're done, it's different. It's a total different kind of service. People are happy and they feel better. And you know why that is? They spend a whole service doing nothing but giving Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving will raise you up. And the book that we're in, the book of Colossians, that's all every chapter. Every chapter mentions Thanksgiving. You remember where Paul's writing it from? It's a prison epistle. He's in jail. And he wrote a book in every chapter that mentions Thanksgiving. What do you think helped Paul keep his focus up? I don't think he was in prison going, oh, woe is me. I don't think he did it. I think he constantly thanked the Lord for all the blessings that he had in Christ Jesus. Can I ask you a question? Can we always give thanks? Can we? Can we always give thanks? We sure can. But you got to choose to do it. And if you do it, who will be the better for it will be you. And it will bring praise to the Lord. The Lord likes for you to give thanksgiving. Y'all think? He really likes for you to give thanksgiving. But the problem is, if your praise is lower than your complaining, then you can see why you're always miserable. You got to praise Him. You got to be thankful. And sometimes it's good, and I do it myself. I'll get me a piece of blank piece of paper, and I'll write down things that I'm thankful for. And it refocuses my mind. I mean, I got some pretty great blessings, don't you? I got my spiritual blessings, eternal life, forgiveness of all my sins, a home in the Father's house, salvation from condemnation. I mean, look at justification. I go on and on with those are priceless, aren't they? But then I go on and I talk, man, I got a house. I'm living in a house. I'm not living out in the street somewhere. I got a house. I got hot and cold running water. Do y'all got hot and cold running water? We got indoor toilets. Aren't you glad? I mean, look at all that the Lord has done a lot of great things for us. Air conditioning. We got air conditioning. I mean, look at what all He's done. And we're just talking about just some minor things here. But we don't thank Him for them. We don't recognize how blessed we are. Y'all think the Lord has blessed us? He gave us some pretty tremendous things. So Thanksgiving should be something you do every day of your life. And you have to choose to do it. I want you to turn to Psalm 69. And I want to give this text to you. Psalm 69. I'm about right on par where I need to be right now. Psalm 69. Are y'all ready for this? And if you mark in your Bible, mark verse 30 and mark verse 31 so you can remember it. It says, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will praise the name of God with a song. And I will magnify Him with what? He said, I'll magnify Him. What's magnify mean? Lift Him up. When you magnify the Lord and you talk about all the thanks and praise, you give Him thanks and praise, it magnifies Him. When you give thanksgiving, it magnifies Him. Now look at verse 31. What does it say? When you praise the name of God with a song and when you magnify Him with thanksgiving, what does verse 31 say that does? What does it say? This also shall please the Lord. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The ox and the bullock was the biggest sacrifice they could offer, the most expensive sacrifice they could offer. But He said, if you give Him thanks, that pleases Him more than the greatest sacrifice that you could offer. Glorious thing, I think. So, we've looked at four so far. Keys, six ways to a full joy. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's the peace of salvation. Let your cares be casted. Don't carry your care. You cast your care. Number three, let everyone be a part of a body, a church body. Number four, there's joy in a church body. There's help in a church body. Number four, let thanksgiving be your habit. Let thanksgiving be your habit. And that will change the way you look at things. Number four, let's go back to our text now. I'm where I need to be. Look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let what dwell in you richly? The word of Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. And when you do that, what does that do? Well, it explains to you what it does right there in the text. As the word of God dwells in you richly, the fruit of that is teaching, admonishing one another in spiritual songs. It makes you sing. It makes you sing. We're more benefited, I think, than even they was back here at this time. You know why I'm saying that? It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What do we got that they didn't have? It's right here. And we need to let it dwell in us richly. And the more you take in of the book, the more it keeps your man focused where you need to be. We lose our focus a lot of times. And when you dwell in the Scriptures, read the Scriptures, study the Scriptures, hear the Scriptures, that's letting the Word of God dwell in you richly. And when you do that, that raises you up. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to let you look this up at home. But in the book of Ephesians 5, 18 through 21, where it says, "Be not drunk with wine, but be filled." It tells you you needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Y'all remember that text? And then it mentions different traits that you display whenever you're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing that you have here in Colossians 3 and verse 16. The same traits are mentioned in Ephesians 5. The exact same ones. You know what the difference is? In Ephesians it says to be filled with the Spirit. And here in verse 16 it says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly." Everybody got it? Let the Word of Christ. How do you let the Word of Christ? How do you get filled with the Spirit? I'm asking. How do you get filled with the Spirit? You let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. So you put those two texts together, and that's what it means. How do you get filled with the Spirit? You got to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. What happens when you don't get the Word of Christ in you? What happens when you don't take the Word? What does the Scripture say? "Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." So if you don't let it dwell in you richly, then you're going to get more fleshy, aren't you? That's why you got to hear it. Finally, number 6, and this is in verse 17. "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all for God's glory. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all for who? Do it all for God's glory. And that's well-pleasing to the Lord. When you do that, when you do things for God's glory, it raises you up. This message title tonight, 6 Ways to a Full Joy. Let me give them all to you in the closing. You let the peace of God rule in your heart. You let the cares of life be casted. You let every member be part. You encourage every member. You want everyone that's saved to be a member and a part of a church body because there's joy in that. They're not perfect, but it's good to be with God's people. Number 4, let thanksgiving be your habit, something you do every day, a way of life for God's people. Number 5, you let the Word of God dwell in you richly. That's the 5th one. If you don't let the Word of God dwell in you richly, you won't be filled with the Spirit. Filling with the Spirit isn't something that you stay there. You got to keep getting filled back up. How you do that? It's through the Scriptures. And we got our own copy. We got our own copy. We got our own book. And number 6, let your motives be proper. And our motive for doing everything that we do is the glory of God. We want to bring glory to our Father. All God's people say it. All right, let's all stand.